today. I'm excited about the new series we're starting today on breaking new ground. How many say that's my life, Pastor? I'm ready to break new ground this year. Are you ready to break new ground this year in your life? You know, symbolic, that means simply this, that we know when there's a groundbreaking activity or service or the public, that means there is expansion happening. That when something new is being built or because of growth or expanding the company or building a new church or they're building this, all because of these things, you have a groundbreaking that happens first. And so I believe that this year is going to be a groundbreaking year. I'm not one, if you know me very well, if you know me, I'm not one to come up with fancy slogans. I think, you know, I was raised that, you know, God is great in 1988, and he's just fine in 1999, and he'll do it again in 2010. I mean, those things are all great, and I don't have nothing against anybody who's a big slogan person, but I really feel the Holy Spirit really dropping this in my spirit for this year, that for Destiny Church, that this is a year of breaking new ground. It really is the theme for our year, that we're going to see a lot of things happen in your life. I'm excited to see what God's going to do in your life, that he's going to take us to new things that we've never experienced before. All of our ministries, I believe, from our children and our youth and our young adults and our life groups and all ages here, that God is going to do something so great. I see the anticipation building. I see the hunger happening. I see the passion increasing. And I see what God is setting us up for, something new, something very special. I don't say this half-hearted, but I'm here just prophesying to you today as your pastor that young people get ready. God is going to do something great in your life this year. Our children get ready. Moms and dads get ready. God is going to rock your world when you're ready and you allow him to. And this is going to be a great year. We're going to plant new churches. We're going to see new ministries happen. I'm so excited about 2013 and what God has for us here at Destiny Church. Today I want to talk to you as we enter the series on the thought of, will you take the 21-day challenge? Will you take the 21-day challenge? I believe that far too long we allowed the world to challenge us and not the church. Isn't that true? I mean, the world is not afraid to challenge you. Isn't that so true? I mean, they challenge you from the time you're a young age in school, if you're in athletics, or if you're whatever. I mean, they're always coming to you trying to challenge you to take the next level. Can you survive boot camp? Can you survive football camp? Can you survive band camp, marching 20 hours a day? Can you survive studying and making it? I mean, whether it's your if you're doing working on your education or whether you're working on activities, I mean, the world challenges. Even when you get to adult, they challenge you. Can you meet the quota? This is the quota for the month. You got to meet this quota. Are you able to take the 30-day challenge? Are you able to take the 60-day challenge? Or do you want to get your health back? And all these things. And Facebook is flooded with people who are challenging you to take this challenge. Check out this challenge. I believe far too long in America, we have allowed everybody else to challenge us, and we haven't challenged each other in the church. Oh, yeah, that's good. I know. Thank you very much, Pastor Matt, for that. Amen. Let me say again, I believe in, too far in America, we haven't allowed the church to step up and challenge each other. Come on. If anybody should be challenging us, it should be the church. Jesus didn't come just to be status quo. When Jesus came, he challenged religion in the face. He says, you say religion has to do with 700 and something laws, and salvation has to do with this, and meeting God has to do with this. And he says, I've come to tell you that's all a bunch of baloney. What I'm here to tell you is this, is that it's about a relationship with the Father. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. It's about, can you love God with all of your heart, with everything you own, with every talent you have, can you give everything you have to God? If not, then step up to the plate and take the challenge. God, I want to follow after you. All right, well, give me everything. Oh, wow. Wow, that's kind of challenging. But that's what he did. He challenged the status quo. He challenged people at the very core of what they believed. It wasn't about just coming week in and week out and leaving very, oh, it's kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. I don't want to change my Lord, kumbaya. It feels so good in here, kumbaya. I don't want to treat my wife any better, kumbaya. The world can go to hell, my Lord, kumbaya. My boss can't, well, never mind anyway, we just go right there. we know that we come in and we just go in and out and we never receive the challenge that Christianity is really about, which is learning to give ourselves totally to Jesus, our life totally to who he is. And that takes challenging ourselves often. And there needs to be seasons where we step up and look each other in the eye and say, hey, it's time to step it up. It's time to step it up. And I believe that right now we're in a season where you need to turn to your neighbor. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to step it up. It's time to step it up. We got to challenge each other. And so today, will you take the 21-day challenge? Now, for the last couple of years here at Destiny Church, we have done a church-wide fast where we've asked people to fast something in their life and rededicate this time to refocusing in on what God has for us this, in this new year. And as we take this 21-day challenge, I believe it's going to be centered, first of all, around fasting, that God is asking us to fast to get our priorities back to the place where they need to be. I believe we need to challenge each other to step it up. So why should we fast? Let's talk about this fasting for a minute, and then I'll get more into the different types of fasts we're going to do and be available and what we're going to do with the fast as we close out the service. But I want to put it out to you. Why do we fast? Some of you here, maybe you never heard that term fasting before, or you've heard it, didn't realize it was actually important for us to fast. A big part of the 21-day challenge has to do with us focusing in on fasting and refocusing our priorities to God. Let's read a couple of scriptures that really explain about fasting. Matthew 6:16 and verse 17, it says, when you fast, this is Jesus is talking. Don't you love the fact that he says, and when you fast? He didn't say, if you choose to fast. He didn't say, you know, half of you, you will fast. He just talks to us like fasting is just a natural part of being a Christian. And when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they would try to look miserable and dishevelled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth. That's the only reward they're going to ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Don't you like that? Because I love the fact, first of all, he says that we fast. He's talking to us like it's just a natural part of being a Christian. And when you fast. And then he talks about, of course, when you fast, don't go around telling everybody, oh, hallelujah, I'm on a 21-day fast. Look at me. Don't get on Facebook and say, for all the Facebook people out there, I want you to know I'm on a 21-day fast. Do not eat sweets around me. And, you know, I'm so hungry. He just wants it to be your status every 2 hours, okay? It's not about pointing to you. It's a personal thing. That's why we're using the word 21-day challenge. That way, if you want to communicate with somebody who's taking the challenge in the church and you're on Facebook and you want to talk in code so that we understand what's going on, feel free to say 21-day challenge. But let's don't say, I'm doing a 21-day fast, because I think it's a very personal thing between you and God. He says you don't go to work saying, oh, I'm so hungry, and oh, I'm so missing this thing that I'm fasting. That's not what he's asking us to do. He says, get up, wash your face, comb your hair. Junior high students, you hear that? He says, get up, wash your face, and comb your hair. And the mom said, amen, all right. Otherwise, don't go into this big dramatic thing saying, look at me, I'm the faster, hallelujah. He's the pastor, I'm the faster. Okay, all right, we're going to do it. That's not what he's saying. Look what he says in Mark 9:29. After, when Jesus was alone in this house with his disciples, they asked him, why couldn't we cast out the evil spirits? Remember, they were trying to cast out the evil spirit, and they could not control it. And Jesus replied and answered them, said, this kind can only be cast out by what? By prayer and fasting. Why would Jesus tell us that this kind of power comes through prayer and fasting if he did not expect you and I to pray and fast in seasons in our life? He is talking to us like it's just a natural thing. He's not saying, you know, he's saying if you want that extra power, if you want that extra power to fight off the spirits that are stronger than what you are used to facing, it's going to take some extra prayer. It's going to take some extra fasting. We know that, I believe there's not a spirit hiding around every corner to attack you. I don't believe that under every pillow there's a spirit waiting to attack you. But I do believe that the Word of God is very clear. It says that Satan is like a what? Lion seeking to kill, to destroy our lives, to devour us. And so we got to be very smart. We got to be sensitive and sense when those spirits are trying to attack our life, to attack our children, to attack our family. And if you want to have that extra power to pray those off, when you're not having breakthrough, sometimes you're praying and you don't see the results you're wanting. He says, try combining prayer with the fasting and see if that does not help drive off the spirit. That's what he's telling us right here. This kind of power only comes through the fasting combined with prayer. And of course, in Matthew 4, 1 and 2, Jesus led by example. And Jesus was led up to the spirit and to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had what? When he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now we see here what Jesus fasted. And simply is this, I think it's the point that we need to get. If anybody didn't need to fast, it was Jesus, right? I mean, he was fully God and fully man. So if Jesus needed to fast to accomplish God's will in his life, how much more do you and I need to fast to see God's will accomplished in our life? I mean, if one person, whoever walked this earth, didn't need to fast, he was fully God and had the power of the universe, it was Jesus. But yet he took time to fast to accomplish the will of the Father in his life. We've got to take the time. So we realize that fasting is a part of the New Testament church. That's us. But there is a big difference between the old covenant fast and the new covenant fast. Let's get into it. I think Jesus really addresses the difference between the old and the new in this scripture in chapter 9 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. One day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, "Why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do?" And Jesus answered and said, "Do wedding guests mourn while we celebrate, while celebrating the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom," he's talking about himself, "will be taken away from them, and then the what? They will fast." And we see this, but sometimes we don't always connect the next part of this illustration to fasting. And I believe this is what Jesus was trying to say about the new covenant of fasting. Because immediately following this, in the next verse, it says, "Besides," this is what Jesus says, he says, "and," tagging along to that statement about fasting. When it comes to fasting, look what he says. "Besides, who would patch an old clothing with a new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before." He gives another example. "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins, so they both are what? Preserved." And so we see this, that we see two different examples of what Jesus is painting, the picture of fasting, what it should look like in the New Testament. He says a new cloth, that you don't take an old cloth, you don't take a new cloth and put it over an old hole, because what happens? It's not pre-shrunk. When it gets wet, it's going to shrink up and dry up, and it's going to pull apart. And then he more detail goes into about the wineskins, that when you, back then, when they developed the wineskins, they would develop the container to be flexible so that when the wine fermented and expanded, that the container would expand with it. And then over time, after it had already expanded, then later on, it would harden up and become the vessel of carrying it. They didn't have glasses back then, okay? They didn't have bottles that could handle that pressure. So they had to have a flexible wineskin to handle the wine, new wine that's being poured. If you poured in new wine into old wineskins, when that thing expanded out, it would shatter and crack, and you would lose all the new wine. It would run out. And so what is Jesus saying to you and I is simply this, that when you fast, it has all to do with you and I preparing our hearts to receive the new wine that God has for us. That he's got something new he wants to do in our life. So when we fast, we're fasting and saying, "God, I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for a new season in my life. God, I'm fasting and saying, God, pour in the new into my life. Don't allow me to be complacent. Don't allow me to lose my focus, but allow me to walk in the new thing you have for me." There are new works of the Holy Spirit God wants to pour into your life every year, every month. There's something new that God wants to do in your life. But we must bring our new wineskins, us, with freshness that God can pour it out into our lives. We must repeatedly receive new wineskins. It's not a one-time thing. When we're saved, we receive a new vessel to receive the Holy Spirit that God is pouring into us, to receive what God is doing into us. But that's not the only time that God wants us to be new. He wants us to continually, often, bring a new wineskin, saying, God, I'm ready for something new. And as I prepare myself as a new wineskin, then I leave the door open for God to pour something new in my life, for God to bring new ground in my life, for God to break new things in my life. If I want the same results as I had in 2012, then keep your old wineskin. Keep the same vessel you have. But you want something different? Say, God, I'm taking that thing, putting it aside, and during this fast, I'm saying, God, my heart is preparing to receive the new thing you have for my life. See, that's what new fasting is. It's celebrating the new thing God wants to do in our life. Old wineskins represent an old season, staleness. They were hardened hearts. God wants to pour out something new into the old. In the Old Testament, they fasted for favor and forgiveness. We see where they oftentimes they would pray and they fasted to get favor with God and forgiveness. Remember the city of Nineveh when Jonah was sent to warn them that God was going to destroy their city because of their wicked ways. And they got up and said, hey, maybe we better pray and fast. And maybe God won't destroy our city. And the whole city comes together and they fast and pray for God to forgive them. But see, under the new covenant, I'm already had my sins forgiven. I've already asked Jesus Christ into my heart. I already asked him to forgive me my sins. So I'm not coming to fast to receive forgiveness. I'm coming to fast to celebrate the forgiveness I already have. To celebrate, God, you've given me your grace. God, you have forgiven me. And so now, no longer do I mourn. Now I celebrate. So this is the thing about it is a 21-day challenge. But it's not a time for you to duck your head and say, oh, I hope I can make it through this 21 days. No, it's a time for you to pick your head up straight and say, look unto heaven and say, God, I'm ready for something new. God, I'm celebrating something new in you. My heart is ready, God. My life is ready to be made new again, that you can pour something fresh and new in my life. God, I want a new anointing in my life. God, I want a new focus in my life. God, I want a higher ground. I want a new ground you're taking me to. It's preparing my heart to say, God, make me new again. In the old, they mourned. Fasting was used as a thing of mourning. In the new, it's about celebrating. I don't have to mourn. They mourned that the Savior would come, that the Messiah would come. So they spent a lot of time fasting. Send the Messiah. Bring us deliverance. May our deliverer come. May we be set free from the bondage. May we be set free as slaves. And they prayed and they fasted that God would send the Messiah. We got good news today. The Messiah has come. And he has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in my heart. That I am the temple, the New Testament temple. And so I don't have to mourn asking for the Holy Spirit to come in my life. He's here. And so now I celebrate that he's there and say, you do something fresh in my life. Now I fast and say, God, do something new in my life. Because scripture says that he will never leave me, never forsake me. That he is close as what? As the mention of his name. That when I call upon his name, that he will draw near to me. That's worth celebrating right there. I don't have to fast to mourn that. I fast to celebrate that God, you are near. And God, you are changing me. God, I celebrate the new thing that wants to happen. And God's doing in my life. Under the old covenant, they fasted in order to become holy. Under the new covenant, I realized through the power of the cross, he's already made me holy. And so I come in and I act like it now. Oh God, I'm going to come in and celebrate the holiness that you have given me by grace. I'm going to accept it, God, and I'm going to celebrate it. And I gladly give up of things to refocus myself back on the beauty of your grace, to focus myself back on the beauty of a personal relationship with my Savior. I've got to get the refocusing happening in my life. The new covenant, we have a relationship with Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So we fast to expand ourselves to make room and more room for the Holy Spirit. How many know that God's not going to pour into you when you're already full, right? When our life's already full, he's not going to give us anything new. So I've got to empty things out to make room for the new thing. And that's what fasting does. It refocuses focus me back. God, what's the clutter I put there? What's the junk I've allowed to come in there? What's the thing that I've stolen my attention from you? And I get rid of those things, and then I'm emptying my vessel. Say, all right, now make me a new vessel again. God, I want to receive something new of you. That's what fasting does. It brings me back to a refocusing in. It also helps me get rid of the junk in my life. Fasting gets the junk out of my life. Even if we attend church every week and worship every week, we need to give our souls and our hearts a good spring cleaning. Just because we come to church every week doesn't mean we don't need to do a spring cleaning. Some of us come to church every week, we worship every week, and you're faithful, but we haven't realized, because it's happened so slowly over the last year, we've allowed, little by little, we've allowed things to come in and crowd out the importance of our relationship with the Father. And we don't even realize it. We've allowed things to come in and desensitize us to the things that grieve God's heart. We allow ourselves to come in, and we've lost the heart of reaching people. And we've lost the heart of compassion, and we've lost the heart of worship. Or we're here, and we think we're clean. And we think, I don't have no junk. And it really reminds me of the story of us in our homes, isn't it? That every one of us here, you know, ladies, you know what I'm talking about? Man, you do a good cleaning in your home. Some of you clean every day. Some of you clean once a week. You give a really good cleaning. And some of you today, if I went to you and said, hey, you know, is your house clean? I'm going to come see you tomorrow. You would go home today. The pastor's coming. And you clean your house spotless. And I come over, and I can guarantee you I could come into your house and I could find dirt. All I do is go right up to your ceiling fan and do this right here. And you'd be like, oh, I didn't know about that. I didn't see that. I forgot about that. I could go to your windowsills and open up your windowsills, and you'd be like, dead flies and dead wasps and bugs are all right there. I didn't know those were there. I could drag my fingers along the baseboards. And, you know, it reminds me of a story. When I was a young teenager, I was looking for a job, and I had a short time period before I was leaving to go to college. And I remember seeing this ad that, you know, we're looking for sharp young men who want to represent the sales company. I said, that's me. I can do that. I showed up in a tie and gave a firm handshake and looked them in the eye and said, I'm the man for this job. I said, man, we want to do an interview with you. And I passed this interview, and they said, come back a certain time for training. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to travel the world for this company. I'm going to become the best salesman this company's ever had. I could see myself already on the cover, you know, of magazines. I was going to do it, man. And I remember showing up. They start talking about this sales training, and all of a sudden they bring out this big old Kirby and put it right down in front of me. Kirby vacuum cleaners, you know what I'm talking about. And they start talking about how you're going to represent this company by demonstrating Kirbys to people who want to buy vacuum cleaners. And I didn't stick around very long. It wasn't really my thing, but I remember going through the training thinking, vacuum cleaners, man, I don't want to sell vacuum cleaners. I was going to travel the world. But I remember going through the training for just a short time, and they had these things where they take and put a glass bowl connected to where the vacuum bag was, so that when you vacuumed, you would actually see the dirt coming in. And they'd go in, and they'd invite you, all right, you vacuum your floors, and you get there, and you vacuum with your, you know, whatever brand you have, and then they bring out the Kirby, and like, boom, that thing had a powerful engine. Man, it does have a powerful engine, by the way. There's no doubt about that. But it would suck up the dirt out of the pad underneath, the things your vacuum couldn't get, and they just, all of a sudden, you got these white pieces of paper that you pull out of this machine. You lay it down, lay it down, lay it down. All pretty soon, you're vacuuming the floor, and you lay out all this dust and dirt that their vacuum cleaner didn't clean up, and people are just so embarrassed. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. And then if you really want to cap it off, you go vacuum the attachment to the ceiling fan. It's like, shoo! And all of a sudden you got all these other pads out there. So you get half the carpet filled up with dirt that they missed. And then you vacuum in the corners and do this. And all of a sudden you get running out of space because all you got is just dirt piles everywhere. Some of you are laughing because you've been through the spill. You know what I'm talking about. And then to cap it all off, they give you an attachment. They tell you, if you can do this, go vacuum their mattress. And you vacuum the mattress and you pull out this much skin, dead skin, on the pads. You lay it out and say, you're sleeping in that? This is what you're sleeping in. And these ladies are like, ah,
how much does it cost? I don't care if it's $1,200 vacuum. I'm buying it today.
Some of us have the same way. We don't realize that we think we're clean. We do. We don't realize the dead skin that's there. We don't realize the dirt we've allowed to come in our life. We don't realize the things that are there that we pass by every day and don't even realize they're there. And so that's why fasting is so important. As we come back together, it's a refocusing in, saying, God, I'm going to do a spring cleaning in my heart. I'm going to check my heart, and I want your Holy Spirit to reveal things in my life that I put before you. I want your Holy Spirit to reveal things in my life that have stopped me from serving you to the fullest. Reveal things in my life that have stopped me from being the witness you're calling me to be. Reveal those things. And so the spring cleaning happens through a fasting time. So the 21 days about coming back, allowing God to cleanse out that junk in our life. So what is the 21-day challenge? Let me give it to you. I want you to write it down. If you don't have a pen with you, take your smartphone. If you don't have a dumb phone, take your smartphone and take a picture of this when we get done. You can use it to go back and reference this later. This is what I'm asking us to do. Over the next 21 days, starting tomorrow, Monday the 6th, for 21 days, number one, I want you to pick a fast that will challenge you. Pick a fast that will challenge. Everybody say challenge. That's the key. Pick a fast that will challenge you. Now, we see in Scripture that every time they talked about fast, they had to do with food and fasting of food. And this is a very important thing. I believe that fasting food is a big part of fasting. But so some people here, I know you need to be careful about how you do that and make sure you always, if you have health problems, that you check with your doctor first. Or if you have sugar diabetes, those kind of things, make sure you don't jump out there and do a fast that's going to be bad for your health. But for some of us here, if you're like myself, it's going to do you some good to do a little bit of fasting and some food. And so this is what we're going to do. What I'm going to do, and I'm asking you to do what you want, is here. So I'm going to fast. I'm going to do the Daniel fast that we see in Scripture where it talks about how Daniel fasted for 21 days and prayed. The only thing he ate was vegetables and fruit and water. That's pretty much all he did. He given up meats and gave up breads and sugar. And so I'm going to do that. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm not saying you got to fast this. I know some people in here, they're going to be fasting breakfast because that's their biggest meal of the day. And so, Pastor, breakfast is my big meal, and I'm going to fast. That's a big deal for me. I've always been a big breakfast feeder. I know some people are going to fast breakfast and lunch and only eat after 5 o'clock. Some people are going to fast whole days, a couple of days every week. And so God's leading you to do that. I'm not asking you and telling you you got to fast exactly this. Other people, maybe it's more challenging for you to fast social media, for you to quit texting everybody every 5 seconds and checking your Facebook every 10 seconds and to get off some of those things and say, I'm going to refocus that. I'm fasting social media. But take something that's going to challenge you. Don't fast coffee if you don't drink coffee. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm going to fast coffee. And I only drink one cup a week. Kind of like my son Hayden this week. He told me, he said, Dad, as we talk about it, some of you saw my post this week on Facebook. I talked about it earlier that, you know, as a family, we talk about the fast, and my children have always wanted to participate in the fast. We never have told them they had to. We've allowed them to make that decision on their own. They've always said, we want to fast something too, and they've always decided what they're going to fast. And Hayden very seriously this week told me while we were eating, he goes, Dad, I know I'm going to fast. I go, what is it, son? He goes, I'm going to fast cheeseburgers. And for Hayden, that's a big deal because if you let him, he would eat a cheeseburger every meal. He loves cheeseburgers, and he would eat cheeseburgers 3 times a day, every day. It never gets old to him to eat cheeseburgers. But he said, I'm going to fast cheeseburgers. And then he said, but I'm still going to eat hamburgers. My reaction is about the same way. I was like, might want to rethink that, son. Maybe video games or something. You rethink that. It should be something that challenges you. Okay? It should be something that's really close to your heart to give up. Don't give up something that's very easy to give up. Okay? Don't say, I'm going to fast TV and then go back and watch movies on your iPod all week. Okay? Take something that's going to challenge you, that's going to stretch you. Do it wisely. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to do that. But take something that's going to challenge you to do that. Number two, I want you to read one chapter a day for 21 days with me. Join me in reading one chapter a day. At least you can read more on that if you want to, but at least take one chapter a day to read. And let's put most of our time in these books. Some of you I know haven't done a lot of reading, so I want to direct our attention to these books right here, Psalms and Proverbs and then the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I'm going to read one chapter out of those out of there every day. And some of those chapters are very small. You can go to Psalms or Proverbs, and they got some very short chapters. So you're talking about just a few minutes to read those chapters. Some of the other chapters can be a little bit longer. So you take the time to do whatever you feel like the Holy Spirit's doing. But I'm asking you to set aside every day for 21 days while you're fasting. So I'm going to read one chapter a day. Number three, you're going to spend time in prayer every day. Spend some time in prayer every day. I'm not telling you got to spend hours and hours every day praying, but I want you to focus, take some time and say, I'm setting aside this time to focus in the prayer. So it could be on your way to work and in your car that you're saying, all right, I'm going to spend this time all the way to prayer. I'm going to spend all this time focusing my heart on praying and saying, God, I want any more of you. God, take my old wineskin, make it new. God, allow the Holy Spirit to clean out the things, reveal to me the things in my life that I need to change. God, allow me to get distractions laid aside and get my focus in back on you. Take some time to pray. Number four, our last one here. I want you to join me in listening to only Christian music for 21 days. Now, if you know me, you know that I like a lot of different styles of music. I'm not against different kinds of music. Man, I use it here on my, many times I use 80s music on our theme music because your pastor's cool like that. I like that, okay? I do that. So you know I'm not against different kinds of music as long as it's healthy. But today, I just something about the saying, you know what? I'm going to intentional, just put in my heart, in my mind, worship and Christian music for the next 21 days. When you have a choice to control that music channel or what's playing on the iPod, that you go to something that's Christian or worship and feed your spirit, that alone is going to change your atmosphere. I just tell you right now. That alone will change your atmosphere. When you put into your heart and your mind the Spirit of God and the atmosphere of worship, it changes who you are. And so I want you to join me as we do this. They're already running to the altars. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's already moving, man. We got to run to the altars. This is what I want you to do. Now, today, if you're new to the church and you say, Pastor, I don't really know if that's for me, there's no pressure. Nobody's going to come around and ask you, are you fasting too? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are not. Come on. The fasting police. Okay? This is a personal thing between you and God. Don't go to your husband. If your husband said, Pastor Gene, my husband said he's going to take the Daniel fast. And when he was eating his bowl of soup, he had a crouton in there. And I know that's bread. I'm telling the pastor, you're not the fasting police. Okay? It's a personal thing. It really is. It's a personal thing between you and God. You can't control everything 100% in your environment. But what things you can control, you make sure it lines up with the 21-day challenge. And so today, if this is not for you, then there's no pressure. But today, if you want to be challenged, you say, I'm ready. If you're here today and say, you know what? I want different results this year than I had last year. What are you doing to prepare that new wineskin? That's what Jesus said fasting was about in the New Testament. It's about preparing our hearts to receive the new wine. It's a celebratory time. It's not a mourning time. Oh, got to go. No, I'm celebrating because God's going to pour something new in my heart and life. And I'm excited. I'm anticipating. And I'm hungry. Stand on your feet this morning. Today, we're going to close this song. I want to invite you just to come around the front and join me today. We're going to sing a song that simply says, Jesus, you are the center of it all. And that's what this 21-day challenge is about. This 21-day challenge is about us saying, Jesus, I'm putting you back into the center of my life. I'm allowing you to get control of my life. I'm allowing you to help me get rid of the junk in my life. So let's press up to the front, press to the corners. Come on in, make room for those coming in. You guys want to step to the front, make a little more room there? Thank you, guys. Thank you for pressing in a little more to the front. Thank you, guys. How many are ready to take a 21-day challenge? Are you ready? I'm excited, man. I'm so excited for what God's going to do. Start today in your heart. Say, God, I'm preparing myself for something new. My life's got to change, and I'm ready to become like a new wineskin that you can pour something new and fresh in my life. Let's make Jesus the center of it all.
Come on, sing this with me. Jesus, be the center of it all. Jesus, be the center of it all. beginning to the end. It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus.
Nothing else matters.
Nothing else matters.
Nothing in this world.
Nothing in this world will do.
Jesus, you're the center of it all.
Jesus, you're the center. And everything revolves around you. Jesus, you.
Nothing else.
Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you. Jesus, you, at the center of it all.
Oh, Lord,
center of it all.
Your prayer this morning. Jesus, be the center of my life.
Jesus, be the center of my life.
My life, Lord.
Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus,
one,
nothing else matters.
Oh,
nothing in this world will do.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you. Jesus, you, nothing else matters.
Oh, Lord,
nothing in this world will do.
Jesus, you're the center of it all.
Jesus, you're the center.
Oh,
and everything revolves around. Jesus, you.
Come on, sing it from my heart.
And from my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about.
Strength in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus.
Come on, lift your hands and say it.
Healing in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Freedom in the name of Jesus.
We kick off this 21-day challenge that you prepare our hearts even now. Change us, Lord. Allow this 21-day to be a refocusing time. God, that we are laying aside the vessel we used to be
We're saying that you make us as new wineskins, flexible, ready to mold into everything you want to pour into our life. God, may we lay aside the clutter. May we spring clean out of our heart and get our focus back on what's right. Get our focus back on what's important. That's our personal relationship with you and the Father. And Father, I thank you today, Lord, because I see new ground being broken. New things coming this year as we stretch out in faith, as we seek you in faith, as we cry out to you, God. May the passion grow. God, may our hearts to worship you grow. God, may our love for you grow stronger than it's ever been. May we truly know what it means to say, I am truly yours. I am truly devoted follower of Jesus Christ. May you take us to a new level. May you help us break new ground in our life. And we say together, if you agree with that prayer, put your hands together and say, God, that's me. I come into agreement with that today. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, get ready. The best is yet to come. It's going to be a great, great time. And I can't wait to get St. kicked off tomorrow with you. Come ready. Come expecting. Come next week celebrating. Listen, if you want to be a part of the missions trip, don't forget that meeting back in the youth wing right now with Travis and Carol. God bless you. Turn around, get someone a high five and say, God is good.